course, all the Patriot fans. I know you love me. I hear Nico all the time screaming, Nico, you know, Nico Stinko with the sack. Like, I hear it. Like, thank you so much. Like, I love it.
We are here with a special Rob Ninkovich Has Retired podcast. And Adam, I'm like a little bit sad about this. I don't know about you.
Yeah, well, it's Rob, at least since I've been covering the team, which hasn't been very long, but has always been a really good guy to deal with. Never really blows you off, even if he's already talked to some, talked to even like a pack of reporters. He'll talk multiple times in the week sometimes. That really matters to us because we don't always all get to be in there every day. You know, certain members, of this, like for me, for instance, I'm not always down there every day. So say he's talked the day before. Some guys will have that be there one time in the week. But Rob is always pretty courteous with that, and he was good with us all the time. And, you know, even if he would sometimes give us stock answers, he knew the deal. And but he was great to deal with on that level. And obviously, as a player, you talk about a dependable guy. It's almost like when how people talk about Jason Witten from the Cowboys, how he's just sort of always there, and you know what you're going to get, and he wasn't going to miss a game. That was kind of what you got from Rob Ninkovich. And, you know, not just consistent in terms of being there, but – you know, producing. I think you rolled out all those stats you had on Twitter last night in terms of his accomplishments. I don't have them in front of me right now, but
it's a crazy list when you look at it.
It really is, because you don't expect it. You know, you don't expect it, but he really did make a bunch of big plays over the years. The one that sticks out to me the most. I think it was a 3rd-and-1 or 3rd-and-2 against the Seahawks in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. In that, I believe it was the 3rd or 4th quarter. There was just a critical stop.
Basically, started the swing of the tide in that Super Bowl was that Ninkovich play. Yeah.
Yeah. So stuff like that. He really was an excellent player for him.
Absolutely. Adam Kirchin, Evan Lazar here, the Naked Bootleg Podcast. Shout out to Boston Herald. Love you guys. Anyways, Ninkovich, you could kind of see it in the press conference yesterday with the coaching staff and the players that were in there, just how much how well-respected this guy was. You know, it's not everybody that comes into Foxborough that they have a big press conference for like that. And you know, the coaching staff is there, and Jonathan and Robert Kraft are there, all the media are there. You know, they don't just do that for anybody. And you can tell by just the impact in the room that he had on all the people in there, you know, what Rob Ninkovich meant to everybody in the locker room and in the media in terms of him as a person. You know, it was pretty obvious. You know, just the way that Belichick was talking about him and gushing about him and some of the big plays that he made and the dependability and stuff like that. You don't hear Belichick talk too often, too candid like that about a player. So it was nice to see that side of Belichick. A great memory. I feel like he had to have written a bunch of that down or had to research or go ahead and look all that stuff up. But Belichick was like an encyclopedia of Rob Ninkovich knowledge there for a little while.
Yeah, and another thing I want to mention about Ninkovich that was pretty cool is, you know, he had a pretty decent sense of humor with us. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, a pack would start to form around a guy when they'd, you know, be about to talk. And Rob's, you know, was pretty good at, you know, sort of turning around before he was, you know, fully dressed or whatever and, you know, cracking the joke to us and stuff like that. So he always kept it light. And had good perspective. And another thing that, you know, goes back to the teammates loving him so much is, you know, I remember last year, you know, him being, you know, sort of right next to Chris Long in the locker room and how well they hit it off and how much that really matters when you got veterans on the team that take in new guys and, you know, make them feel really comfortable, especially if they're, you know, really important players like Chris Long was last year too.
Yeah, absolutely. A guy like Rob Ninkovich, they could use him in the locker room over at Fenway, I think, these days, maybe. Yeah. You know? Not to
I know.
Not to go down that road, but you know, it seems like that.
I don't get assaulted if I go into a clubhouse with another one.
Right, exactly. You know, Ninkovich is just—he's a guy that if you're a rookie or whoever, you just come in and you look at a guy like Ninkovich, a guy like Edelman. Obviously, Brady's in there too. Devin McCourty. Slate, but you know, you look at all these guys and they're just great examples of exactly how not only should you conduct yourself as a professional, but also exactly how Bill Belichick wants you to conduct yourself in the locker room, out of the locker room, on the football field. You know, if you want to make the Patriots roster, if you're Harvey Langdon, for example, and you're trying to, you know, make the roster and impress the coaching staff and do all that type of stuff, just watch what Rob Ninkovich, you know, does. Obviously, he's not going to be in the locker room, you know, as much this season. But in general, there's plenty of guys that lead by that example in the Patriots locker room. And Ninkovich was just, Belichick mentioned it too, if you made a checklist of all the things that the Patriots, you know, look for in their players, you know, dependability, accountability, coaching, you know, being coachable, all those things, Ninkovich just checks so many of the boxes. And, you know, the stats are obviously there, you know, the 46 sacks and the 14 fumble recoveries and all that stuff. But more importantly, he was just a first-class person and in the locker room for the Patriots, and a leader on and off the field for them. And, you know, it's going to be a tough void to fill in terms of leadership, I think, on the defensive side of the ball, where they are, you know, they have some experienced guys in the secondary, but, you know, they are relatively young, I would say, overall on this team, really, other than a few elder statesmen that have just been around, you know, obviously Brady and some of the other guys. But from a football perspective, Adam, you know, let's get into a little bit what this means for 2017 and beyond. I think that it has a bigger impact on 2017. I think they're a little bit better equipped for beyond. But what do you think, you know, is the answer in 2017 now to replace a guy that plays, you know, a ton of defensive snaps?
That's a really good question. I think, you know, it's almost, you know, I thought even before the draft and before knowing about, you know, Ninkovich's plans, I think a lot of us really identified that edge position as a need. And so they went out and got two guys in the draft with Dietrich Wise and Derek Rivers. So I think, you know, not necessarily those guys are going to have to be, you know, day one starters. But I think their contribution level, you're going to see it be a little bit more than you might have if Ninkovich was still on the team. I think you're going to want to see a little bit more from Coney Ealy. You know, I think it was a little disconcerting at first that he had that that reported, misstep with Belichick. So, you know, having sort of somebody on the edge who, like you said, who can set the edge, rush the pass, or drop into coverage, that's not an easy set of responsibilities. But you get the sense that Belichick sort of had this type of replacement in mind. And if we do touch on Langy a little bit, and we discussed a little bit on Twitter last night, but a guy like Langy has a little bit of that versatile skill set that if he can sort of pick up the playbook. I'm not saying he's going to come in and start, but that's more of a down the line thing. But, you know, he's somebody that, you know, He can rush the passer from the edge. You can put him at linebacker. He's a big, sturdy guy. He's, you know, from a body build perspective. So, you know, I think they've got some guys who could be answers. But I don't think they really have. And then even it sort of opens the door a little bit more even for Geno Grissom. But I don't think he's the same type of player. If you're looking at it from the perspective, okay, you know, who's your Rob Ninkovich this year? I don't think there's necessarily a perfect answer to that. I think we're going to find out a lot more as the month goes on. Maybe somebody emerges, but then again, maybe that role itself changes.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the things about Ninkovich I think is not talked about enough is his football IQ on the football field and his ability to diagnose, run, pass, dropping into coverage, rushing the passer, all those different things. A couple years ago, Belichick also mentioned this in the press conference. 2014, I think, is the year he pegged it at, was the year that the Patriots defense really started to use inverted coverages with their defensive ends. Linebackers coming up and rushing and the defensive ends dropping into coverage into places that, you know, quarterbacks just aren't expecting them to go. That's not an easy thing to do for a 275, 280-pound defensive end. Now, maybe a guy like Derek Rivers, who's a little bit, you know, more svelte and a little bit more athletic, could do that down the road. But you didn't see him do a ton of that in college. There's a lot of responsibility to take on with that role. You know, it's a three-headed monster there where you have to be able to drop, you have to be able to hold your own in you know, covering tight ends and running backs and dropping into short zones. You have to be able to rush the passer and beat a tackle and get to the quarterback. You have to be able to set the edge against the run. It's a lot of responsibility. And, you know, to put a rookie there, I think is out of the question, at least, you know, consistently to put a rookie there. You know, maybe you could put Derek Rivers or Dietrich Wise in there, you know, just to give them reps and see what they got. But that's obviously not what you want, you know, in terms of it's the Super Bowl, you know, it's the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl and we need, you know, a stop. I don't know if you want a rookie necessarily playing that spot.
No, I definitely don't. Like, and especially just right away, you know, you can't just throw like game one. You get like I don't
right.
think also just necessarily going to be ready. You know, it's a lot to learn. I mean, it's a lot from a physical standpoint to start off with, but like you said, the mental side of it, it's going to be moving so fast for them. Just the jump from their level last year to what the level is this year, that you don't want to throw too much at them right away. And if you do have them, like, say, starting, you're not going to be able you're probably just not going to be able to throw as much at them from the mental standpoint as you would Ninkovich. You just want to sort of simplify it because and have them play a little faster that
exactly.
way.
Exactly, and the step up in competition for Derek Rivers, remember, is even more than the normal – you know, FBS guy. So he's coming from the subdivision. I love Derek Rivers. I think he's going to be a great player, and I hope that they now don't – I would prefer that they don't sign a Dwight Freeney or someone like yeah. that and let Derek Rivers and Wise play and maybe even Lange a little bit. But you're 100% right. I mean, there's a lot to be said about Rob Ninkovich as a player, as a person, all that stuff. His ability to diagnose exactly what it is that Belichick needed that from that spot. You know, we've been over the three phases thing. That is just a really underrated part of what Rob Ninkovich, I think, brought to the Patriots. There's one name that I wanted to throw at you, and Greg A. Bedard wrote this in the Boston Sports Journal, and I wanted to pitch it to you. And that is, what if Dante Hightower plays a little bit on the edge?
Yeah,
and they take David Harris and they move him into the middle of the field, and you know they allow Dante Hightower to then go and play that Rob Ninkovich role, and then put Trey Flowers obviously on the other side.
Yeah, I think that could work. I think Hightower, especially the second half of the Super Bowl last year,
play a lot there.
Yeah, played a lot there and played well there, you know. And here's the thing, is somebody did broach that subject last night on Twitter as well, and I think a lot of that, you know, David Harris is one guy. I also think a lot of that is how much a Landon Roberts has developed in terms of his knowledge of the defense and being able to make calls and see things before they happen pre-snap. So, you know, I think that Roberts is somebody that long-term especially you could have in the middle and allow guys like Hightower to be more edge guys and stuff like that. So, you know, I really like Landon's potential for that, to be like a, you know, sort of a play caller in the middle of the defense. He's got a lot of the qualities you look for in that. So yeah, I think that's definitely not a off the wall theory. I think that's definitely something that could come down the line, and you know, especially if you look at Hightower and how he plays when he's forced into that role, you know, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think Hightower, and I'm sure that anybody would admit to this on the team, is more than likely their best pass rusher on the team. I mean, maybe Trey Flowers, but I really do think that Hightower might be, especially as a blitzing linebacker, probably the best pass rush threat that they have, especially last season. You put him there, he's obviously athletic enough to drop into coverage as well. I like it a lot. I think that you could almost maximize his abilities in a way as an edge guy instead of versus as him playing in the middle. Obviously, you need to be able to put a guy like a David Harris, like an Alondon Roberts in the middle there to kind of, you know, call out the signals and clean up run plays and stuff like that. But if you can have a guy like that do that, and you move Hightower to the edge, I think that makes them a really versatile and pretty stout pass rushing team, with Flowers on one side and Hightower on the other. We saw it in the Super Bowl. You know, he did a ton in the Super Bowl, coming off the edge as soon as the Patriots really went away from the game plan that they had scripted, and they really just attacked Matt Ryan and attacked that Falcons offense, a lot of blitzing. You know, they really used Hightower as their main pass rusher in that game. And I think that that's an immediate answer where we can plug a veteran into that spot and not rely on, you know, Derek Rivers to make the leap already, especially in the first, you know, 8 or 9 games. Maybe Derek Rivers, who eventually has a Trey Flowers type breakthrough halfway through the season and is able to, you know, in the second half and into the playoffs, is able to contribute as a rookie. I just don't expect a third round pick that came from the subdivision to be able to play, you know, every down or close to it or anything like that right away. But I think that you could definitely see Derek Rivers towards the end of the season take on some of those responsibilities and allow Hightower to move back into the middle some. But I think Hightower is probably the guy on the roster that isn't a rookie that I would say best fits that role and best has that skill set all around for a guy that can do the three things that we mentioned Ninkovich did.
Yeah, I agree.
So I Derek Rivers is another guy I wanted to talk to you about, because this is more getting into beyond 2017, how this team has prepared, you know, for this kind of, I think they've been preparing for Ninkovich to retire pretty much this offseason. I think that they knew that is either going to come this season or is going to come after his contract expires after the end of the season. Obviously came a little bit earlier than they might have expected, but it wasn't out of left field by any means. And I think that Rivers is the guy that it perfectly fits into that role and maybe even plays it a little bit better than Ninkovich in terms of rushing the passer. Obviously, Ninkovich, his sack numbers are super impressive when you add them up, but I think that Derek Rivers is more of a twitchy guy and more of a, you know, quote unquote pass rusher, you know, than Rom Ninkovich.
Yeah, I think, you know, I look at them, I don't see the same, you know, like physical traits per se. Like, I feel like Rob, his strength was his strength, you know, to put it in a, you know, sort of dumb way, but like as terms of being physically strong, especially the upper body, like he, that was how he, you know, made his living in terms of rushing the passer. And it was great for him when it came to setting the edge. Rivers, I don't think is at that strength level yet. You know, I don't remember exactly what his testing numbers were, but in terms of, I like how he uses his arms and in his pass rushing techniques. I do think like his lower body isn't as thick, but it's still, his feet are quick. He's able to he's able to use leverage very well. The times I've seen him when he's been tasked to rushing the passer, I think he's got a good variety of moves and stuff like that. I don't think he's sort of a one-note guy. I feel like that's kind of been somebody like Geno Grissom's problem. I feel like Geno, he's a good speed rusher around the edge, but I still haven't yet, from these practices and all that stuff, I've never seen him develop any real good secondary moves to beat people.
Derek Rivers is a tactician. That guy, yeah. When you watch his college tape, he knows how to rush the passer. He's very well coached, very well versed. Whoever got their hands on him at a young age and coached him up in pass rush knew what he was doing, because his hands are already violent. He has a couple of different moves he can throw at you. I really like him as a pass rusher. I agree that he's not ideal size quite yet in strength. He's got great burst, but it's more of a burst around the edge than it is a stout, hold the edge type guy against the run. When they first drafted him, I put him at linebacker because I honestly thought that he was a true edge rushing outside linebacker. You know, he's not – when the Patriots – get these defensive ends, they're more like a Trey Flowers or a Dietrich Weiss body type, where they're bigger, they're tall, they're lengthy, they're stocky, and they can really they can both rush the passer and they can really set the edge and hold the run, something that Ninkovich did, both very well as well. And Rivers is a smaller guy, he's an athlete. He's skinny, to be quite honest. And I just don't, I didn't pencil him in as like a 5 technique or even a 7 technique necessarily defensive end that the Patriots might use. You know, when you think of Patriots defensive ends throughout the years, you think of guys like a Richard Seymour or a Ty Warren or, guys that are just a bigger, quite frankly. You know, maybe even in a different system, they'd be a defensive tackle instead of a defensive end. But the Patriots, they typically play them at more of a defensive end spot. I don't know if Rivers is necessarily built for that type of role, more as he's built to come in and rush the passer in a specialist type way. Right. But I think that Dietrich Weiss, on the other hand, just to move on to him, could potentially have a role in defensive end and more of Rob Ninkovich's role. But both of us are kind of low, I think, if I remember correctly from draft season, on Dietrich Weiss. I don't know what you have seen from him in practice and whatnot.
It's not that I was necessarily low on him. It's that I know it seems like I haven't been to the padded practices yet because of the wedding I was attending this weekend. So, but I will be back. But from what I've heard, Dietrich has looked pretty good. But the problem was when I was watching his film from last season, and I understand that he was battling an injury, and his junior season was much better. I felt like I don't know what it was, but I watched closely the Auburn game, every snap he was in, and he just was a total non-factor, and it wasn't. And it was a game in which he could have been a big difference had he really been, you know, just more aggressive. You know, it's one of those deals where Auburn did, you know, and you probably, you're obviously not going to see this as much in the pro game. But again, as you know, Auburn does a lot of zone read concepts in their offense, and you really sort of have to, as when you're isolated as a defensive end, sometimes you sort of have to wait for a second and then make a commitment to either the running back or the quarterback when they get the ball or where you feel they're going to get the ball. And he never really committed in a lot of those runs. He sort of just stood there and didn't force it one way or the other. And Auburn absolutely just manhandled them that game. And I felt that Wise was sort of a big disappointment. And you don't want to, you know, just single out one game. But, like, I watched a lot of other of his games from last season, and just was, I didn't really see it. So, but I didn't see as much of his junior film, and he was more impressive there. So if it was an injury that was holding him back last year and sort of causing him to be a little bit less aggressive and good in space, and I think that's one of the things we talked a lot about back then, was his inability to sort of be a real space guy. And that really came out in the Auburn game, is where I sort of formed that opinion too. But if he can sort of get back to 100% health wise, and if he's feeling like he can sort of throw his weight around a little bit more, then I think he should be fine. Because, you know, I don't think the Patriots would have just looked at sort of what I saw and what everybody saw from his senior season and said, all right, we need to draft this guy. But so I think they must feel confident that they're going to get the junior Arkansas season Dietrich Wise instead of the one that showed up last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that with him, you mentioned it too, and playing in space was a big issue. You know, as soon as a team put him in space, or he tried to set the edge and run to the sideline from his defensive end spot or anything like that, it got ugly. And any time he got into a foot race, quite frankly, it got ugly, right. Especially with a running back, which obviously is most guys that play defensive end. You're 280 pounds. You're not going to catch, you know, a little running back going to the edge most of the time, but you have to give a little bit more of an effort to get, you know, the corner and safety down to help make the tackle than what Dietrich Wise was doing. As soon as I saw, you know, what I saw on his tape was he's got to play with his hand in the ground. You know, he's got to be almost inside, you know, not a nose tackle, obviously, but a 3-5 technique guy. You know, he's not, you're not going to want to put him out in the wide nine. You know, he's going to have to stick inside and use his strength. He's got really long, good arms that he uses with leverage very well. He's going to have to do all that type of stuff. I don't see that translating very well to a Rob Ninkovich type role. I actually see it as the opposite. I mean, Ninkovich has obviously had his issues in the run game over the last couple of years, but he was able to set the edge pretty well for most of his career and you know, get out to the edge foot race wise well enough. Wise is not going to be that type of player. He's going to be a physical guy on the inside that's pushing pockets and you know, blowing guys up and stuff like that. That's his best role. So I don't see it with him, but I think that they at least have another option in Wise. And if they want to change up the defense a little bit, if he ends up butting into a really good football player, they can obviously, you know, use him in the right vein and kind of switch things around a little bit with the linebackers. But the last name I wanted to throw at you is Harvey Lange. I mean, everybody's going to ask about Harvey Lange and what this means for him. I tweeted out yesterday that I pretty much think that this means that he's a roster lock more or less now with Ninkovich gone. What have you seen from Lange? What do you think, you know, what can be the expectations really be for Harvey Lange this season?
Like the other rookies, I don't see him. I agree with you in terms of him being a lock. I think even beforehand, you could have said, look, this guy's going to make the team based on the fact that they put through so much his way that you don't normally see as an undrafted rookie free agent financially. So I think this makes it more of a lock, yes. But as far as what you can see from this season, I think it's gonna be a learning process, like it is with some of these other rookies. But I think he's more of a long-term plans guy. But what you get from him, I did see a fair amount of him at BYU, especially this past season. He's a pretty thickly built, tough, sort of like a really, really gritty type guy. Like he can get his nose in there wherever you put him and be sort of a physical presence. And you know how football coaches use that term, oh, he's just a football player, and that's sort of like the highest compliment they can give. And that's kind of how I feel about him when I watch him play. He's aggressive. I mean, he hits guys, they go backwards. He's got a lot of good form tackling techniques. There's a lot to like about him, and he is somebody that's good on his feet. He's very physically strong in terms of, like edge setting per se. Like I think he's somebody that, obviously I haven't seen these padded practices yet, but I'm going to be obvious looking for it when I get there tomorrow. I just really feel like he's got like this physical nature to him that is going to translate really well to the league. It's all a matter of, how quickly he adjusts to the, the size and the strength of the NFL offensive lineman that he's going to be going up against. But from, I know the Patriots really liked what they saw. And, when I watched him, I was very impressed too. I think he's going to be a really good player down the road. How quickly that impact comes, I'm not sure. Because we still have a long way to go, but I think he's got plenty of upside. And when you look at the versatility, he's obviously got that.
Yeah. At BYU, he was all over the place, both personally and the coaching staff had him all over the place. Yeah. And I think that was something that was just really detrimental to his, progress, was that the coaching staff at BYU couldn't make up their mind of where he was supposed to be. Was he a linebacker? Was he a defensive end? Was he in the middle of the field? Was he on the edge? Belichick is one of his best attributes, and we talked about this on the last show a little bit, is that he's going to specifically say to Harvey Lange, this is your role in New England. This is your way on this team, and your way to making an impact is to, play on the edge, play in the middle, wherever it is. And I think that's going to pay huge dividends for Lange, because he's going to be able to just focus on doing one thing for once instead of, playing a bunch of different positions. Saying he's a football player, you totally see that. A lot of Patriots players throughout the years have just been quote unquote football players, and the Patriots have gotten them in the building and they figured it out. Julian Edelman's a great example of that. Was he a receiver? Was he a return guy? Was he a quarterback? Didn't really think he was a quarterback, but nobody was really sure what Edelman was coming into his NFL career. The Patriots, took him and were able to turn him into who he is, today, along with his hard work. Lange, I think, is another guy that is going to pay huge dividends from being in a well-coached system, not to call out the BYU coaching staff, but, they had him all over the place. Now he can focus on one thing. You mentioned it on Twitter last night, and I agree. I think that his skill set has the chance of being a Rob Ninkovich-type player. Ninkovich was drafted in the sixth round by New Orleans, but, you know, it wasn't like Ninkovich was a heralded player when he came to Foxborough, you know, not a guy that they were expecting to get this type of production from. So you never know with some of these guys, you know, and I think that Harvey Lange has already shown a little bit in some of these padded practices based off what I've seen on Twitter and what people have written that have been there, you know, that maybe there is something there with this guy. And obviously I don't expect it to happen right away either, but I do think that looking beyond 2017 for a Rob Ninkovich replacement, Harvey Lange has as good of a chance as anybody to take over that role.
Yeah, I agree. And just the thing on film that sticks out with him is that aggressive mentality, that sort of bulldog-ness, if you will.
Belichick loves that stuff. Yeah.
That is Harvey Lange when he steps on the football field. I the more and more you watch him, the more you see him just sort of finding the ball, you know, sort of being so aggressive and just being that dog out there that sort of gets it done. You want that in a football player, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So I think, you know, in terms of his skill set too, it's just like, you know, he looks a little bit more like the type of player that Ninkovich was. So if that's what you're kind of looking for, is like a guy that looks and plays like a Ninkovich on the field, like I said on Twitter, is that he's got that sort of skill set. It's a little bit what you're looking for if that's what you are. I think it was a smart thing to pick him up.
Yeah, I agree too. And he played a decent amount in coverage over his years at BYU, and he's probably already a better cover guy than Ninkovich necessarily was. You know, Ninkovich was a trickster cover guy. You know, he was a guy that they kind of snuck into zones and stuff like that. I remember the Peyton Manning interception is a big one. I think he picked off Andrew Luck doing the same type of thing where, you know, he just dropped into coverage when the quarterback wasn't expecting it and didn't even really see him. The Manning one, Manning definitely didn't see him and threw it right to him. But yeah, you know, I like Harvey Lange. I obviously, you know, you have to manage expectations for an undrafted rookie, but I agree that his skill set long-term definitely projects to be somebody like Ninkovich. All right, we're breaking this down like every way possible now. Give me your favorite Ninkovich moment, play. What do you got as your number one Ninkovich?
Honestly, I got to go back to that Seattle game like we mentioned earlier. It was such a big play, like that. There was such a razor-thin margin for error that game, like there was with the Falcons Super Bowl. And it might not have been, you know, when people sort of look back at that game as big as it definitely wasn't as memorable as the Butler interception or anything like that. But it was one of those moments that was very Ninkovich-esque in the fact that it was clutch. It was a play that was a very very easily could have been picked up by the Seahawks. It was a very third and short. They didn't have very much to go. It might have been 2 yards or one. I forget exactly what. But it just stuck out to me because he was just so powerful on that play. And it was very emblematic of the type of player he was. You know, using his strength, using his just sort of pure will to fight through blockers and make a play, and make it in a big moment. It was almost one of those things where I felt like, in general, the bigger the moment, the later the game, like the better he was. Yeah, and so that was just to me sort of a microcosm of like, okay, later in the game in the Super Bowl, you know, in a big moment, he came through.
Yeah, you know, he was like the king of the walk-off sack. Whenever they needed a big play at the end of a game, it always seemed like it was Rob Ninkovich that was going to come through and get that big sack. You know, the play in the Super Bowl, it was one of those, you know, not huge talked about plays. You know, it was kind of a under the radar, so to speak, type play. But it was really what started to turn the tide of that game. It was really Seattle in control for most of the game, except, you know, the first quarter, the Patriots, I think, took an early lead, but they were winning at halftime. But in the third quarter, Seattle really came on strong after the half, and the Patriots were in trouble. They were reeling a little bit, and if Ninkovich doesn't make that stop, then that game might get out of hand in the other direction, and it was just huge. The one that I was going to go with, I'm going to go a little outside the box since you went the playoff route, was that, I don't know if you remember it, but it was a swing pass against San Diego, now L.A., Chargers, right. And it was a lateral. And it was actually a backwards pass to the running back. I think it was Danny Woodhead, actually. And the ball hit the ground, and nobody reacted to it. And then if you watch the replay on YouTube or wherever, about a second or two goes by, and then Rob Ninkovich realizes that it's a live ball. And Ninkovich dives on the ball, and he lays on it, and he turtles with the ball.
Right.
And then he realizes that nobody touched him. So then he gets up and he runs 68 yards the other direction. I think he ends up getting tackled at like the 7 or 8 yard line. I think Philip Rivers finally got him before he got in the end zone. But it was just those heady type plays. Obviously a fumble recovery, which was a staple of Ninkovich's game. But it was just one of those heady type plays. You know, obviously the coaching staff on the sideline was screaming to pick up the ball. But right. You know,
no
it's
whistle.
One
no whistle.
No whistle, right? And it just. It would be Rob Ninkovich that would pick up that ball and run with it. He almost scored a touchdown off the play, but I just little things like that just throughout his entire career, whether it was, you know, stops that don't get talked about in Super Bowls or fumble recoveries on laterals or whatever it may be, it was just all over the place. That guy, time and time again, just delivered for the Patriots, and he will be missed, and he well deserves his own podcast, his own hour here from us to talk about him. And
and I think you hit the nail on the head with the walk-off sack thing. That's definitely – it's so true. Like, you know, there'd be like one last drive for the other team to be able to get back in it, and Ninkovich would put it away. That's
I'm almost positive that there is a few Indianapolis Colt games that ended in that vein over the Andrew Luck era there in Indy, where Ninkovich was a big part of you know, stopping them in the fourth quarter. But anyways, what do you got coming up here, Adam? Anything special?
Training camp practices this week. No more weddings until actually my sister-in-law is getting married on August 19th, 20th. So I'll probably miss something back then. But until then, I'm going to be, you know, just really back at it, watching battles for positions and stuff like that. I'm really going to be interested in looking at the linemen and in any position where there can be contact that will be, line of scrimmage related, because we didn't get to see that for so long in terms of mini camps and the first couple in the first day of training camp. So I'm just looking forward to seeing guys like Wise, Langy, Rivers, the offensive lineman Garcia, McDermott, players like that, seeing how that plays out. I think that will be fun.
Yeah, this is when the fun begins, when they finally put on the pads and they get to see them hit some people and stuff like that. But for me this week, August 3rd, Thursday, is a big day. It's Tom Brady's 40th birthday.
All right.
So we got a piece coming on quarterbacks over the age of 40. You know, I think the Herald is doing a bunch of birthday Brady stuff on Thursday. So check that out for sure, and I'll have a piece in there about Brady playing at 40 and statistically just, you know, the history of that. Brett Favre, I looked it up already just a little bit, and Brett Favre is really the only guy in that Vikings 2009 season that's really succeeded at the level that we would expect Brady to succeed at this year. So I think that he's really the only example of a guy that, you know, led his team deep into the playoffs and had a pretty good season and stuff like that. So I'll take a look at that and look forward to that. And then Adam and I will be back, whether you know, somebody retires or just on a regular show later in the week, hopefully. But that's all we got.
Awesome.
Sayonara to Rob Ninkovich. Thank you very much for great contributions to the Patriots. And you were a great player to watch, and you will be missed. But for Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. We'll be back later in the week.
All right.